The scripture reading today is from Daniel 2, 36 through 45. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. Your Majesty, you are the King of Kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed all mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds in the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. After you, another kingdom will arise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw the feet and the toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by a human hand. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. Daniel 2, 36 through 45.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that reading. I got worried this morning. I thought my hearing was worse. Glad it was just technical difficulties. We've had them before. We'll have them again, different kinds of issues. And we'll work through to fix this, whatever it is going on here today. We appreciate your being here. We're blessed by God to be alive in this country at this time in history. We are thankful, Karen and I, to be back from Red River. We had a chance to go and to be at the family encampment there. It was a great time of lessons and fellowship and singing. Our first time, it was a high of 54 and rain one day, 52 and rain another day, while you're having about 110 or so here. But we suffered through it. It was good. They said it's very unusual. The next to the last day, they said usually it's 80 in the afternoon. So they said it's only been one other time like that. But we were blessed. Dale Lindsay from Churches of Christ Disaster Relief was there. He gave me some bags, and we put them on the back table. I encourage you to take one. Take that. It also has a report in it, several other things. It's a great work that people do in times of disaster. And they would have been checking all up prior to this time with me about how the fires in Arizona are going, and they send truckloads of different needs to people. And again, someone asked if you could make a check out to the church for this work. Yes, you can. We do that. 100% of that money goes to the organizations you give it to, whether it's a children's home. I'm glad we're adding some of those back. None of it's taken out by us. You can participate in also Red River, although you didn't go. We've been showing on some Sunday nights DVDs that we have, but we had to get permission from the author or the publisher. And so on our church Facebook page, we've been showing those DVDs, and we ran out of the ones we had permission from. But starting next Sunday night, we'll be showing some of the DVDs from Red River at 6 o'clock Sunday night on the church Facebook page. So you'll get to go. Great lessons, a great time. We were blessed by God, and thank you for the opportunity to let us go. We do support many missions. I also was glad to hear that we're adding things back. As was mentioned even in class and at the communion discussion, I think, Phil Sanders, that work, we've sponsored that for some time. We've even added some to that. And so we want to be open and honest in all the things that we work and support so that you can understand where the money's going. And just like Karen and I'm sure you have some works that you support that aren't even on this list. You're a great giving group of people. We appreciate that. We're thankful for that. I want to also personally thank Stephen Martinez for his work on the air conditioning units. We put two in and saved the church a lot of money. Thank you for doing that, for helping us at this time. How about those sons, right? Huh? We moved here. That's the last time they were in the finals. I don't know what that means. But Patrick Beverly is facing a suspension for that cheap push on Chris Paul on Wednesday night. Of course, that push has to be served and paid for next season. But it has to be paid for. From Twitter on July 1st, today is July 1st. That means Mets player Bobby Bonilla will get another payment of $1.1 million today. He hasn't played in the majors since 2001, but he'll be paid $1.19 million every July 1st through 2035. He'll be 72. You see, his signing bonus was set up that way to defer payment. And so he's played in the major leagues from 1986 to 2001. They would like to be free of this obligation, but they can't be free of this obligation until it's paid. I must mention before, there's a new report from Latin American Missions and a good report about Sarah Dutton. Sarah Dutton went there. We worked with her many times. She went to work in the children's home. Great article. And, of course, as you know, what happened to the children's home. But it's a good article about her and many articles written by the children about her. Take one of those reports on the back table as well. Jesus often illustrates forgiveness with money. He uses different illustrations to get across the point, and maybe that strikes home with us. We often mention sometimes before, imagine we go out to dinner across the street after church, and we pay the bill. How foolish it would be for you to go into that place on Thursday or Friday and try to pay that bill again. When a bill is paid, it's taken care of. It's gone. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 36 to 45, God gives a preview of the next 500 years of history. What does this say? This says God is the one who's on the throne. That the center of power is not in Washington, it's not in the media, it's not on the news, it's not in Moscow, it's in heaven, and God is on the throne. It also means that men are not the one who gets to decide who gets to be in charge. The scriptures are quite clear in Daniel chapter 4, that God gives power to whoever he wishes. There wasn't an accident that we are this country. It was by the plan and design of God. Yeah, yes, men had to participate. But in that context, God is the one who's blessed us with the freedoms and the blessings that we have. Our first slide reminds us of the truth as we look at the biblical text and even the Old Testament where they were the people of God. They would have a good king or a bad king and all the problems that would go with a bad king and the blessings that would come with a good king. Now, in that context, 3,000 years ago, the psalmist said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The things will go better if God is our God, rather than we, as mentioned in class, try to run it ourselves." Our next slide, we saw Tammy and Wayne Roberts and Lee and Trey and Morgan in their marriage material. They came here. Tammy and Wayne had a class about their prodigal child. And so we're reminded of the truth. Train up a child the way he should go. And if he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, that's true. But there's another scripture that's also just as true. We want to focus on one scripture and say, well, that's it. No, take all the scriptures. And the scripture we must remember is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Evil companions corrupt good morals. And that scripture is just as true for adults and for children today as the one in Proverbs. It's not a guarantee that, okay, if you teach your child right, that no one will try to impact them for the devil, that the devil will not try to work on them. We must understand that we want to do what's right. But in that context, do not allow a person who doesn't follow God. Well, let's say it another way. Who are you trying to please? Who do we want to make happy? Are we trying to please those around us who are not serving God, not living for God, not doing what's right? Do we want to make them happy or God? Don't let the criticism of someone who's not following God bother you. They have a different value system than you and I. They're not trying to do what's right in God's eyes. Our next slide, this is a great time, a holiday time, but who also can join me in saying, despite all of my problems and all my needs and all my struggles and all my sins and Christ's grace, God has been good to me. Too often we focus on the negative and the problems and difficulties instead of seeing the blessings and the great things that God has done for us. As a congregation, as a group of people, as we're trying to love each other and trying to work together, our next slide reminds us of the truth. It's pretty hard to throw stones when you're washing each other's feet. That we're trying to love each other in action, not just with words. And this is a very practical thing. A wonderful author wrote several years ago, when fishermen don't fish, they fight. He talked about going on a fishing trip and it rained and they were stuck in this camper and all they did was fight. We're to be fishers of men. But if we don't fish, we'll kill each other. And again, this 4th of July, it's a great holiday, a great time for our country, but we need to remind ourselves of history. History of those who've gone before us and called upon God for his help in establishing even this country. You hear a lot of things about what the founding fathers were, and they're trying to rewrite history. I want to read to you the first parts of the first and the last paragraph of the Declaration of Independence to notice what they said in their words about what they thought about God. This is something that literally good that came out of Congress. The first and last paragraphs. It is important we remember this cause is why we left the British Empire. The history matters. This 4th of July, you might eat hot dogs, apple pie, watermelon. You might watch fireworks. You might hear the song, God Proud to Be an American by Lee Greenwood. This is from Congress, July 4, 1776. A unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve political bands in which we've connected them with each other, and to assume among the powers of this earth a separate and equal station which the laws of nature and the laws of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separate. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states. They are absolved of all allegiance to the British Crown and all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain. Is and ought to be, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. Notice what they thought about God. We are free people because of those who went before us. We are free people because those who fought and sacrificed and gave their lives or maybe gave other sacrifices so that we could be free and live in this country, even free to do as we will. By the blessing also and the providence of God. Freedom had to be paid for with blood and sacrifice. And God gave us the blessing, but people had to fight for that. Here in Daniel, God is telling 500 years of human history that's taking place. But people had to fight to make that happen. But God is the one who is on the throne. We are not run by men. We're not ruled by Washington. There is a God in heaven. It may look like, as we've already sung, that this is the world and they're in charge, but this is our Father's world. In Daniel chapter 4, God tells the most powerful man in the world to humble himself in a dream. Daniel, a prophet in that king, likes the king and said, "Oh, king, I wish this for your enemies." He's encouraged him to humble himself, renounce his sins. And the king did nothing. And the next day, the king did nothing. And it was a year later. You see, God sent him a message to humble himself. He didn't obey it. He didn't listen to it. He probably thought after about 6 months he got away with it or maybe just let it go. And 1 year later, he walked out of his palace and said, "Is this not Babylon the Great that I have built with my hand and my power?" And immediately, God made him like an animal. And he's out, and his hands are growing claws, and his hair grows like feathers, and he's out eating grass like a donkey. You talk about political spin, I'm sure they've got him hidden. Where's the king? Well, he's busy right now. He's eating. You know, I want to see him. Well, he can't see you right now. And for a period of seven, whatever it is, 7 years, seven cycles, for some period of seven, God had him eat grass like a donkey. And immediately after that period of seven, God restored his sanity to him. And he praised the God of heaven and earth. And he says, here's the verdict of Daniel 4:17. The decision is announced by messengers that the holy ones declare the verdict, that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men. Now here's the point. Now we'll acknowledge there's a God and we need a God, but we really think we're in charge. We really think we're running things. And if it wasn't for me, this thing would fall apart. No. If the kingdom had fallen apart while Nebuchadnezzar was munching grass like an animal, Nebuchadnezzar could say, see, it takes me. I have to run this or it isn't going to work. God kept the kingdom together while Nebuchadnezzar is munching grass like an animal. He made it all work. He ruled the world. And then after he gives him his sanity back, God gives him his sanity and he acknowledges God and God gives him the kingdom. You see, God took care of it while he's eating like an animal. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't ruling the world. God had given him authority and power and all these things. We go on vacation. People go, well, you were gone? You know, we think the world's going to end if we're out of town. We take ourselves far too seriously, and we don't take God seriously enough. He is the sovereign Lord God who rules heaven and earth, has been doing it for thousands of years, and he gives us our country just like all these other countries we read thousands of years ago, and he decided which country would be which, and he's working a plan in Daniel to set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Not an earthly kingdom that fights for a political Messiah that put Jesus on a literal throne. That's not the biblical plan. People teach that, but that's not true. God set up a spiritual kingdom. But here in Daniel, hundreds of years before it happened, God predicted that in the days of the Roman Empire, that God would set up a kingdom that would never be destroyed. I hope you saw the gold, the silver, you know, understand the image that the first one, you, O king, are the head of gold, Babylon. After you will come an inferior kingdom, the Medo-Persian Empire, silver. After you come another kingdom, which is the Greek, Alexander the Great. And later in Daniel, he describes that Alexander the Great will die as a young man, and your kingdom will be divided among your four generals. In the days of those kings, the Roman Empire, God will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. What if God would tell us the next 500 years of history just like that? God is on the throne, and we have no idea when time will end. But in that context, he's giving them power, but that's not salvation. Just like a person today has power to rule, that doesn't mean that they are divine right and everything they do is right. And everything they do is from God. Romans 13 describes that. It's a divine order. It's a divine order that the police and the soldiers are over to keep order. The scriptures are quite clear. They do not carry the sword in vain. They are God's instrument for justice. You see, we need to get back to what God says. Here's another instrument of justice. Here's another command of God. This is a divine order. Parents are over children. We don't have time to go into that, but that's a divine order. That doesn't mean the children aren't as valuable as the parents. It doesn't mean that God loves the parents more than the children. But God has put people in charge to help things have order and discipline. And you can understand naturally why parents are over children. But in that context, we look at the freedom that we have and the blessings we have from our country. That freedom is not free. Someone has to pay in blood. All of these kingdoms took place because God gave them, but they had to fight for them. In our own country, in our own blessings. We go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, as we talk about our spiritual freedom. We talk about freedom from our sins, freedom from the penalty of what we deserve to get because we are sinners. The law of sin and death is very simple. You sin, I die. That's basically it. It's our sin, so we ought to pay for it. But God understands for us to pay for it, we would have to go to hell forever. God doesn't want that. You know, God is not looking forward to destroying the world and sending people to hell. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. It's not prepared for human beings. Hell was prepared for the devil. And the devil, being the kind of being that he is, wants to take as many people with him to hell, and that says a lot about him. You think about what the devil does. What he does, he's the father of lies. He lies to you, he lies to your children, he lies to your grandchildren. He wants to take them to hell. What kind of being does that? What kind of being knows that God is going to send him to hell and says, I want to take as many people with me as I can to get back at God? God has devised a way that we don't have to go to hell. That's the big picture here. And in that context, he sends his son to die on a cross to be raised from the dead by the power of God. And it's the same power that God makes it available for us to be forgiven of our sins by surrendering to his commands, being buried with Christ, raised to walk, dying to sin, being raised to walk in newness of life. The scriptures teach that the same power that brought Christ out of the grave is the same power that brings me and you out of the baptistry to live by the power of the Spirit. That's the real power of God, not Washington. That God can take a human being, man or woman, and make them new, clean inside, and keep them clean every day until the end of life, although they are sinners. Now, obeying God's command, as Andy taught in class, we have what God has done. And to obey God's commandments are not to earn our salvation, not to merit our salvation, not to do anything that we have. If you win the publisher clearinghouse, right? Anybody won that in here yet? But they come to your house and we see you on TV and they got that big check, you know. There's a couple things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to send in an entry. You're going to have to take that check to the bank and put it in your account. Now, by doing those things, have you earned that money? No. You simply had to do what the requirements were. In all the miracles of Jesus, where Jesus says, go wash in the pool of Siloam, by doing what Jesus commanded them to do, are they earning their miracle? No. They're simply obeying God. When Jesus tells us to repent in Luke 13, 3 and 5, or else we will perish, are we earning our salvation? No. We're doing what Jesus tells us to do. But when he tells us that we must hear the word of God, we must believe the word of God, and many biblical examples of people who didn't believe the word of God, are we earning salvation? No. We're told to confess. Whoever's ashamed of me and my words, him will I be ashamed of, Jesus says. Are we ashamed of Jesus? Are we ashamed to be known as a Christian? Are we ashamed of Jesus who died for our sins? When he tells us, and tells the disciples, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creatures. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Why did he not say, he that believeth not is not baptized? There's no need to. Because if you don't believe, there's no need to be baptized. Belief must come first. And so here in this context, when we do that, we are obeying his commands. We're not earning our salvation. We are free because of what Christ has done. And so we're free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8, 1 to 2. He talks in Romans 7 about the struggle that we all feel, but Paul, describing himself, describes the frustration of the good I want to do, I don't do, and the evil I don't want to do, that I do. Oh, what a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. Who walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. For the Spirit of the law, so the Spirit of God has given us, have made us free from the law of sin and death. It's very simple. I am free from the law of I sin, I die. Why? Because of what Christ has done. In that context, we sometimes fail to realize the price that's paid for our spiritual freedom. In the terrible place that Auschwitz is, there was a day and the commandant commander decided to rip off 10 names. Well, of course, they were numbers. They weren't names. At the sounding of this number, one man fell on his knees and cried, oh, have mercy on me. I have a family and children. At that point, a man stepped forth, a Roman Catholic priest, Francis Gobnacek, said, I'll take his place. The camp commander, with the power to have them both put to death, said, okay. And so he took place of this prisoner that was scheduled to die. And they put him in a box, and after starving for about 10 to 12 days, the man died. NBC News did a follow-up several years ago to see what this man was like. They went to his house in Poland. Francis Gabrychek said, come to my backyard, and showed him a memorial he built to Maximilian Kolbe, the man who died in my place. That man lived every day knowing that every day of his life he was alive because of the sacrifice of Maximilian Kolbe. We are free from sin and alive in Christ because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It took his blood and his suffering and his death to make us free and to keep us free. Many of us have come to Christ, been baptized into Christ. We need to realize also as a Christian, he can help us every day with guilt and sin and continue to wash it away. Dr. Dale Manor talks about going to Greece. We've had him here before, his work in archaeology. You think it's 12 o'clock. It's not. It's 15 till. You're doing well. We're almost done. He talks about going to Greece and his work in teaching Muslims. And Islam is a religion of works to merit salvation. I need to read it, but he wrote it, and then we're done. Dr. Manor writes, freedom. For five separate semesters, Cher and I had the privilege of teaching Harding's Greece program. It was a particular joy to worship with God's people in Greece, where Christians from multiple countries would assemble to worship. In one memorable occasion, representatives from Egypt, Japan, Iraq, Philippines, Sudan, the United States, and Greece stood poised to serve communion. It was a minuscule prelude to John's exuberant vision of people from every nation, from every tribe, every people, every language in Revelation 7:9, who gather to sing God's praises. The church in Greece has borne much fruit in God's kingdom, and many people have fled difficult circumstances in their native lands, seeking better lives in the West. As these refugees funnel into Greece, the church reaches out to introduce them not only to freedom, their political oppression, but more than that, freedom from sin through Jesus. Dale says, I've talked to a number of Muslims who've escaped the oppressive regimes of Iraq and Iran and become Christians. And I pose this question to them. What prompted you to obey Jesus? Significantly, one main response has been forgiveness. Forgiveness is not part of the Muslim experience, and with Jesus, it is central. They were taught of Jesus' love and forgiveness, and they were moved to submit to his lordship, feeling a huge burden had been lifted from their souls. Forgiveness is a major component of spiritual freedom. It frees us from the enslavement of sin. It frees us to serve a living Savior. It frees us to hope. It frees us to live a life more abundantly. It frees us from a past that shackles us to darkness and a future that shines brightly. In the United States, we celebrate the 4th of July as Independence Day because we relish our freedoms. More importantly, though, is our freedom in Christ. Our political freedom lasts only for this life, and sadly, is available only for a small percentage of the earth inhabitants. Freedom from sin through Jesus, though, can transcend political boundaries and certainly transcends time. Jesus, our Savior, paved the way for that freedom. And William Cooper's voice sums it up. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Freedom indeed. We are free from the penalty of sin and death through Christ. Now, what is that worth to you? He is our Lord, not because he's been mean to us, but because he bled and died to pay for all of our sins. Will we be loyal to him? He encourages us to bring our sins to him time and time again and receive forgiveness. Are you free from your sins? Are you washed in the blood? You won't get a better offer. Why don't you come as we stand and sing?